You know what, Stevie? I'm not sure he's retired, and neither are you. Whatever's on there, I'm eating it. It's going to be very emotional for the sage. You know, you got the pepperoni, the sausage, the mushroom, the tomato, anchovy, whatever they had on there, it's now down in the belly over there. My average is, I would say, 90 seconds per slice.
Ira, for your listeners and for JoeBucksFan.com readers, there is $500 off any services from Florida's Elite Restoration if they have a disaster in their home or at their business. But that's only if they use Florida's Elite Restoration services after their free assessment, after they consult the experts there at Florida's Elite Restoration, whether it be a fire or mold or flood in their home. So what a great opportunity to knock some money off your deductible if you're using insurance, or just if you're paying cash for some sort of mold remediation or a cleanup of a situation. Just mention it before you use Florida's Elite Restoration. If you buy their services, and owner Josh Martin, 14 years as an insurance adjuster in the industry, he knows all sides of it. They're going to take care of us Bucks fans out there who have a problem in their home this summer. This is the season for it.
What's the number one thing you're looking for when you're going to make a call about possible mold, possible water damage? You're looking for honesty. That's what you're looking for. And you're going to get that from Josh Martin. And remember, the consultation is free. Let them come out. You've got Josh Martin and his people. He's hired a great staff. And you're going to get $500 off any project that ensues. Florida's Elite Restoration should be your first phone call before your insurance company.
FloridasEliteRestoration.com.
You know what, Stevie? I'm not sure he's retired, and neither are you.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports marches on. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. And you know who's a customer. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Ira, no Todd Bowles in this episode, but anybody who wants to catch up, they can certainly get to the Ira Kaufman Podcast at Joe Bucks Fan or on various podcast platforms. And you can listen to part one and part two of Todd Bowles joining us. A lot of great stuff there, and a lot of great stuff at Bill Curry Ford. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. You can order your 2023 vehicle right now. Just reach out to Sean Sullivan, the GM, no deposit, and he's going to give you $500 to order it. He's taking these deposits left and right, Ira. Great offers. BillCurryFord.com. They're buying your trade-in. Your car is never worth more than it is today. Check out their all their inventory online, BillCurryFord.com. And make sure you subscribe. When you subscribe to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, you can add the Best in Class Podcast with Sean Sullivan, our draft guru there as well, BillCurryFord.com.
You know what, Stevie? I'm not sure he's retired, and neither are you.
All right, you've heard the little one-liner now a few times. Ira doesn't believe that Rob Gronkowski is really retired. He's not putting any money on it. And Ira is here today for a podcast, but he's not at the same time. We've got a full podcast, but we recorded before Rob Gronkowski retired today. And then the weird statement came out from Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, that he thinks that he could very well come back this season. Well, which is it? Anyway, I reached Ira on vacation, caught him at a comedy club just before the act was going to start. Ira was sitting in the first row waiting to get completely roasted by the comic. I asked him why he sat in the first row. He didn't have a good answer. But anyway, we talked about the deal with Gronkowski. I know how Ira feels. I'm not going to blow all of his thoughts, but next podcast, he'll dive into a little bit more. And of course, the dust will settle on what the Bucks may do and Gronk's potential comeback, per the words of Drew Rosenhaus. That'll settle as well. Possibly Gronk might spit out a slap, if you will, of Rosenhaus in the next handful of hours, saying, no, don't get your hopes up, Drew, or I'm out. Or what I expect is that Gronk actually announces a broadcasting deal with all the money that's getting thrown around in broadcasting. Gronk worked for Fox Sports previously. He was good. They liked him. He's obviously got a strong presence and is a good pitch man for different products, as we see him on commercials all the time. But for now, and for whatever reason, and maybe Drew Rosenhaus was throwing leverage out there, Gronk is retired and Tom Brady has responded, and Gronk produced That's really the big thing for the football focused among us without all the drama on the side. Rob Gronkowski turned in a hell of a season last year. So what are we going to do? What are Bucs fans going to do now that Gronk is gone and he churned out 55 catches, 802 yards, 6 touchdowns in just 12 games, and he produced in the postseason, and he's Tom Brady's security blanket. In many ways, it's not just a one-liner. Brady trusts him, and Brady's told us all before that he's very much about trust, and now his most trustworthy receiver is gone. Not only does Gronk have a great football IQ, but he's reliable to be exactly where Brady wants him to be. He's got the big catch radius, which makes Brady look good. He's not perfect, but he's fantastic, and he blocks. And this could change the running game. If Kokeeft, the blocking tight end, isn't up to it, I don't expect him to be Rob Gronkowski out of the gate. Cade Otton, first pick in the fourth round, hasn't practiced because of an ankle surgery that he's still recovering from, but he's considered a hell of a prospect, and a lot of people, smart people, think he's a steal in the draft, but you can't expect a fourth-round tight end, even a second-round tight end, to come in and kick ass and look at the Bucs' schedule in those first four games. So it's a sad day, it's a weird day, and even looking at Gronk's, just for those who didn't see it, Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, put it out there to Pro Football Talk, quote, "In my opinion, he isn't done," of Rob Gronkowski. I would quote, "I would not be surprised to see him come back down the road." Again, maybe that's leverage. Maybe that is, them telling the Bucs, "Hey, if you paid us, we would have played, but we'll come back later." I don't know. But he also told Adam Schefter that he wouldn't be surprised if Tom Brady calls Gronk during the season, and that Gronk answers the call and comes back to play. And Brady played along on social media too, retweeting comments that Gronk could come back, and with some funny images. And, you know, who knows this game that they're playing? And that really, Ira doesn't like it. He does not like the gamesmanship here. He doesn't feel it's fair to the Bucs, even if the Bucs know what's going on. But of course, the Bucs will proceed as if Gronk is not going to be here. And that's what we'll get into more on the next podcast, which of the free agents that Ira likes. He did write a column last month, and we talked about it on the podcast, what would life be like without Gronk in 2022? So you can take a look at that. It's at joebucksfan.com. Ira got into names like Kyle Rudolph, Jared Cook, and others. All right, that's enough of me. Let's kick it back out to the podcast. Introduce Ira. We'll have some fun. We'll be back soon. Go Bucks. Sage, how are you? Yeah, you're getting ready for your New York trip, but you got plenty on your mind. You got bold statements about Tom Brady. You've been calling Jason Light, harassing him, talking offensive line. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well, Steve. Speaking about Bill Curry Ford, you know, we've got a Ford Escape 2020 cherry red. Love the vehicle. And, you know, I was just thinking about it. The only time that I'm allowed to drive that car, Lee, is to go down the block to the 7-Eleven and put gas in it. That's the only time I can get in that car. Otherwise, my wife commands it. She takes over. I'm lucky I have a key to the vehicle. And I go down there, put 10 gallons in, and hand over almost $50. Thank you very much. But here's something I've been thinking about with the Bucs right now and the state of this franchise. Sometimes you're so close you don't even realize it. There's a lot of talk right now with the Lightning going for 3 in a row, and people are talking about dynasties and how rare it is. And Lee, I think in baseball, the last repeat champion was like the Yankees 20 years ago. Wow. And so, Lee, if the Bucs are as good as I think they're going to be this fall, I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl, but they're going to be in the mix. And they're already the favorite to represent the NFC. Let's say they go out there and win 13 games out of 17, and then win 3 playoff games, and that's 16 wins, and they got 29 wins the last 2 years. That would be 45 wins. Lee, that's 15 wins a year over a 3-year period. That's a mini dynasty, in my opinion. Lee, the good times are rolling right now, and not just for the Lightning. What the Bucs are doing is pretty amazing. I know most people think they should have gone a little further last year, but they're well positioned, Lee. And of course, what does it depend on, Mr. DeKemper? The health of Mr. Brady. We all know it, but this is a very good football team. Obviously, it's number 12. That's all that matters, number 12 for the most part. Here's one for you, Ira, about the Bucks. You know, you were saying they were the favorite. Well, former Bucks defensive star Gerald McCoy gets on NFL Total Access the other night, and he says, I have to be honest, I'm a Bucks player for life. I'm a Bucks fan. I grew up, when I was a little kid, I was a Bucks fan. But I got to be honest, it's the Rams.
Whoa. A lot of Buck fans aren't thrilled with Gerald McCoy to begin with. Lee, I suggested he's going to end up in the Ring of Honor one day. They unleashed a wrath of hell on me. What are you talking about? And I answered, the guy's got 6 Pro Bowls. You know, how many Bucks in the last 20, 30 years have 6 Pro Bowls? Not a lot. Lee, that's not going to help his cause with the Buck Nation. I'm wondering if he's angling for some kind of media job.
I've heard the same thing you've heard, Ira, that he might be angling for a TV job. His career, I'm guessing, is over unless someone picks him up this year. Oddly enough, Sue is still unemployed as well. They both came in together. They were both married by comparison because of when they came out, where they were drafted. With McCoy, I didn't know this until I did some quick research the other night, Ira. McCoy has more Pro Bowl appearances than 4 Bucks players in the Ring of Honor.
Whoa. 4 Bucks players in the Ring of Honor. No, not all Stott.
Well, McCoy's got 6, Ira, 6 consecutive.
Someone have 6?
I don't know.
He might have.
You know, I didn't check that. That's a good one. But I didn't want to get obscene here. I mean, Leroy Summers was the greatest to ever play the game. That's a good one. I don't know if he had 6. So he might be 5. I might be wrong. He might have 5. But one of them as the Bucks player, I got to preface that, as the Bucks player. One of them is Lynch. Lynch had 5. Rondé Barber had 5.
Gruber.
Yeah. He had none. Doug Williams, as a Bucks player, had none.
That's a good one. Lynch's last 4 came in Denver. You're right.
Ira, Tom Brady made the rounds promoting Hertz, his partnership with them. He's been in commercials that have been very popular. Whatever, he did the rounds, the Today Show. He was on with a Sports Illustrated spot. He was doing Dan Patrick's show. Didn't say too much, but he did say a few things, Ira. But one thing that stands out, though, between his Today Show spot and what he did with Sports Illustrated, he is really dodging the fact that this may be his last year, which is not surprising because he doesn't want to set up a farewell tour and make that kind of news right now. And he probably wants to avoid that because that would be an extra distraction for the Bucks. But he's not stepping away from it that he might continue to play. I look at it as, you know, the fact that he came back, you know, we're not that far away from next season in reality, right? He's basically got to make a decision in 7 months. There's a lot's going to transpire there. But if the team is still as great as you're talking about, mini dynasty, you know, the Bucks can make it very hard for him to walk away. As much as he wants to, he's still competitive Tom Brady. If he's healthy and they're loaded and they're good, you know, why not?
Steve, I think the stumbling block, and it's not going to be money, Lee, because you know and I know, Lee, they'll give him whatever he wants. That'll come down right from the Glazers. And there won't be, and we're, you know, we're assuming Brady has a good season in 2022. And he doesn't show, signs of a diminished productivity. They'll give him whatever he wants. It's still going to be a pretty good team. Leah, I think the biggest impediment and the reason I think Brady is done after this season is the commitment. The word commitment, Lee. And, you know, Brady's that rare breed. He's in. He's all in. He's all in. And that's the way it's going to be. It's got him on the first day of training camp. He's going on the field the first day that they get out there. They don't want any days off, even if they want to give it to him. And that's Brady, and it's part of his greatness. And I don't think he's going to make that kind of a commitment next March, April, May to a franchise. Lee, he can't go 5 minutes in an interview without talking about life after football. I mean, that's what he's talking about. He's going to be 45. He wanted to play till he's 45. Lee, unless my instincts are way off base here, we are going to say goodbye to number 12. We don't know what life after Brady's going to look like. I don't think he's going anywhere else. I think it's going to be the Bucks or gone, and I think it's gone. My tea leaves say enjoy him while you got him. I think this is it.
I've written that before. You know, you enjoy it because it's going to be fleeting. I'm going to throw this at you, Ira. You may know Brady better than I. I don't.
Yeah, I've interviewed the guy before. I've asked him questions. But we haven't been in a locker room since he's been a member of the Bucks. And even if we do have access to the locker room, doesn't mean we know players. We might have a better idea than most, but we don't know them. Do you get the impression that one reason he doesn't want to come out and admit this is my last season isn't so much because he doesn't want the attention of this a farewell tour, let's buy him a rocking chair, that kind of nonsense? Do you think it's because he's such a good teammate that he doesn't want any friction? Steve mentioned distractions, and I agree with him. But do you also think that he doesn't think that would be fair to his teammates? He seems like a very good teammate. He's a very demanding teammate, but he seems like he's a very good teammate.
I don't think you're out of bounds on that, Lee. I think it's right there in his psyche. He is always talking about his team. Boy, the way he talked about Malcolm Butler on the Dan Patrick Show, making that unbelievable play. He called it one of the greatest plays in the NFL history. I think he's right. You know, and to see Brady jumping up and down like a 7-year-old after that interception, that was a great moment on video to capture another side of Brady. I don't think you're wrong, Lee. Distractions are poison to the Tom Bradys of the world, and there aren't many of them. He wants to keep them to a minimum. And I think he's very content on going out his way, low-key, quiet. Like you said, no rocking chairs. I remember when Julius Erving, finished up in all these arenas, Lee, in Boston Garden. I think they got him a rocking chair, as a matter of fact. And Red Auerbach came out, and Larry Bird came out. It was a great moment, and Bird took it all in. Brady's wired a little differently, Lee. We've learned that about Brady, Lee. There ain't nobody like him. How can you be? He's still doing this at 44, and he's going to do it at 45. Lee, I think that's an interesting point. It's a subtle point, but I think he thinks a little bit about the impact of an announcement on his teammates during the season, or if he announces it before the season that this is it. I wouldn't say he dreads it, Steve, but it's not in his DNA. He's not going to go that way.
Well, Ira, you know what? I'm going to call nonsense on the whole thing, the whole party, the whole last 5 minutes. Like, what we do know, because we're overthinking everything, which is fine. It's what we do. But I think we're overthinking it. Brady, I see a clean slate here, Ira. He already had his public wrestling match with what he's going to do with the rest of his life. His wife didn't come down and say, like a lot of people thought, you know, quit or I'm out. She said, great, he's back, and she's tweeting and social, doing her social media thing. She's taking pictures of him in his underwear, and they're selling underwear, and everybody's happy, and his dad wants him to play. And I just think that Brady, right now, I think he's more likely to play next year than he was to play this year. It's just how I feel, Eric. Nobody can predict what this guy's going to do. I don't think he really knows. He doesn't want to quit. Otherwise, if he wanted to quit, he'd be gone. And yes, he wants to be a good teammate. But I just think, Ira, if the offensive line is great again, and yes, I'm calling it great, was the least sacked quarterback the last 2 years. If they're great again, and remember, all these guys that they re-signed, they're on 2-year deals. And if the receivers get healthy, and he's got the number one passing offense again, and they're winning, it's going to be really hard for him to step away. And let's put the X factor out there, Ira. I'm going to throw it out there because nobody really knows for sure, even though we believe Brady had no issue with Arians. But there was probably some friction. If he likes Bowles and they don't have friction, and he feels a little bit lighter with Leftwich, I mean, maybe this is even the best situation for him to come back for year four, especially if Team Glazer's dangling, Tom, we'll give you $50 million, just one more year, no big deal, whatever you want. I don't know. I can't put that bow on it that he's out of here.
I'll say this very simply. Lee, I hope you're sitting down. I declare 80% of what Izbich just rattled off in the last 3 minutes is absolute pablum.
Oh.
And an effort by him to do a little Shannon Sharp, Skip Bayless nonsense, taking some kind of opposite approach. I don't believe that he believes anything that he just said to Kemper. and I'll take it a step further. Lee, the fact that he announced his retirement, he didn't put his papers in, but he announced his retirement. Lee, that tells you he's hanging by a thread, and he decided to give it one more shot, and he's not going to do it again.
no matter what Isbett says about the offensive line and the great Aaron Stinney, it's not going to matter. This is going to be it for Brady. And you know what? Next March, we're going to owe each other a big storm dinner. And in a couple of weeks, I'll tell you what I want because Isbett is going to pay for it.
Lee, real quick, just for those who are unaware, the word pablum is defined as bland or insipid intellectual fare, entertainment, garbage. Ira, come on. That's insulting, Ira.
What you just said makes my word even more dynamic over there, DeKemper. I respectfully disagree with you, Steve. I believe this will be it for Brady.
Ira, had the Bucs won the Super Bowl last year, would Brady be at Bucs minicamp?
Yes, he'd be going for the three-peat. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, Ira, look, one thing Brady did say is, you know, maybe I should have retired. He was joking about watching Aaron Donald, and the workouts that he's been putting out on social media ever since he got his big contract. And, he's trying to play it as, hey, you know, all these young guys are trying to rip my head off. You know, and meanwhile, everybody knows Brady wants to rip everyone's head off. And so he doesn't really believe that stuff. He also tried to claim on the Today Show that he's not super strict with his diet. And I started thinking, if Brady's not super strict with his diet, what is Ira? You know what I mean? What is going on here? I'm trying to get some perspective here. He's trying to tell people that he enjoys cheeseburgers and ice cream and chocolate cake and he likes what everybody else likes. Why is he putting such nonsense out there to try to tell regular folks that he's not super strict on his diet? What is that?
Well, speaking of diet, Lee, I just polished off two slices from Slice of Life, good local pizzeria. I had two of them called Life on the Edge. It's got everything on there, you know, including banana chips and whatever they throw on there, I'm eating it. Whatever's on there, I'm eating it. That's my diet now. As far as Brady, Lee, I'm going to go with this diet nonsense as part of the 90% of what he says is nonsense. You've seen him. He's lean. He's mean. He's ready. I think he's a little gaunt myself. But who am I to tell Tom Brady what kind of shape he should be in? He's going to be ready on July 29th to go, and he's going to have a hell of a year.
Ira, I got to give you belated credit. It was challenging your manhood as a longtime celebrated sports journalist that Brady wouldn't talk about the rumors with Arians. He wouldn't talk about these supposed rumors with Miami. And you were chomping at the bit for weeks. And damned if you didn't get both answers to your questions. You were fired up, man. You were ready to go.
There's no question, Lee. I didn't start the conference with the first question. Let the other people lob a couple of tomatoes at Brady that he can easily deflect. And then I saw an opening, and I popped in there. And 10 minutes later, I come back with the Miami question. I noticed, Dan, none of those subjects came up, Lee. Zero. Is anybody surprised?
Well, Steve, didn't you put out on Twitter you had seen or read where Patrick admitted that was rehearsed? Not rehearsed, but scripted.
Brady wasn't live on the Dan Patrick Show, and Patrick, as he was talking live prior to airing the recorded interview, noted that they were given 10 minutes with Brady, and that included promotion of the Hertz stuff that he was promoting. So not a lot of time, and that's okay. Brady was making the rounds, and I get it, Ira, but I got to throw this past you, Sade. Well, first, just clue us in. What exactly was on this pizza? Because everybody's confused.
Banana chips.
It's banana something. I forgot what the heck they call it. You got the pepperoni, the sausage, the mushroom, the tomato, anchovy, whatever they had on there, it's now down in the belly over there. My average is, I would say, 90 seconds per slice, in the words of my wife. Well, what did you do? Engulf those things? I mean, she says I'm a fast eater. That's part of the problem. When Lee goes out with me, I grab those French fries. Lee, what do you call that again?
The human seagull.
Steve, I have a story.
First,
you got to do some research, Ira. We got to find out what the hell's on this pizza, because banana sounds absolutely grotesque on a pizza. Bananas.
I gotta defend myself, Ira, because I really believe that Brady's a competitor. You would call him the greatest competitor in the history of sports, probably. He's right up there. I agree with you that Brady's hanging by a thread. but he's back. But if the Bucks get better as a team, which we all hope they do, but if they really blossom as a team, and if you put it out there, Ira, as Mike Evans has a season to remember and is in his prime, and Chris Godwin gets back healthy, and Gage fits in, and you know they're still doing their thing with Lenny, and the defense gets back to its 2020 form, it's going to be really hard for Tom Brady, the competitor, to just walk away from a fantastic team. It would be hard for anybody. So I'm just saying, if he's healthy and the line is good and those three receivers, I'm going to put it on those three receivers, if they're healthy and the defense is back to 2020 form, I think it will be hard for him. And that means there is hope. And if there's hope, there's the Glazer wallet. And Brady, I'm still convinced that Brady's very much about the money. And, you know, he wants to stay close to football. And he's going to have a lot of guys, including Joe Theismann, even on the air the other night. Very interesting interview. Joe Theismann talking about, you know, keep playing, Tom, and talking about what his transition to broadcasting is going to look like. Now, Theismann did, what, 17 years, I believe, on Sunday Night Football and jumped right into it. And he also was broadcasting while he was still playing, which was rare at the time. So, you know, he's an authority, what Brady is trying to accomplish here. And I really believe that if the conditions are ripe, meaning the Bucks are great, Brady's going to want to play, and maybe he will, maybe he won't.
I can't argue with your point about his competitive nature, Steve, and I won't. But, Lee, I think it's ludicrous to think that Brady's decision is going to come down to money. Lee, I don't believe that. He's walking into a gold mine. He's got all kinds of endorsements. He's going into the broadcast booth. He can still travel, still be part of the football fraternity, and make a ton of money doing it, Lee. So I don't think it's going to come down to the Glazer wallet. Now, I have a question for you guys. The listeners of this podcast, gentlemen, they love all these little non sequiturs that I throw out about what the hell's going on. Steve, did I mention anything to you about seeing my professor who lives on Shelter Island in Long Island? Did I say anything to you about that?
You told me off the podcast about that maybe 3 weeks ago.
All right. Lee, brace yourself, Lee. Brace yourself.
Before Ira gets to this great story, we hope it's a great story. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. So many great Big Storm beers, and they're all brewed locally here. It is Florida's best craft beer. The Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA, is a home run. It's a big award winner. It's in most stores all across the area. BigStormBrewery.com is where you can see all the beers. Punch in your zip code, find out where it's sold near you. And it's in many establishments. The Big Storm Tap Room menus are top shelf. And for every Lightning game, you can get out to the Tap Room in Orlando at the Amway Center or in Clearwater just south of Ulmerton Road on 49th Street. Gorgeous outdoor tap room. And enjoy the game. Great beer, drink specials, food. Also in Odessa off State Road 54 and in Cape Coral. Big Storm Brewery, we love them. Check it out, bigstormbrewery.com.
In 1975, as a young man right out of Brooklyn College, oh yes, they were called the Kingsmen, Lee. And no, they didn't play in a Power 5 conference. And I went to grad school at NYU in Greenwich Village. So it was the fall of 1975. And, you know, here I am, 21 years old. And I was lucky. They offered a course in sports journalism. Just got lucky. They only had it that one term. The professor was a man named Robert Lipsight. Robert Lipsight. He was a noted columnist for the New York Times, sports columnist, for most of the 1960s. He got very close to Muhammad Ali. He loved to talk about social issues, Billie Jean King, racism in sports, that kind of thing.
He was tight with Cosell.
And tight with Cosell. Anytime there's a documentary on Ali, they usually talk to this guy, Bob Lipsight. So anyway, Lee, I'm in the class. There's only about 10 of us. The other nine people, they weren't thinking about a career. They just wanted to get the 3 credits. I'm thinking about a career. So, Lee, I'm in the class. And, you know, he's reading all my stuff every week that we turn in. He's reading it the next week. And he's commenting on it and this and that. And Lee, we get to the final assignment, final project. And he had just written a book called Sports World. And it was a very cynical book, Lee. Very cynical, you know, about the corporations that are robbing sports of their enjoyment, all that kind of stuff. So, Lee, as a final assignment, I did a book review of my professor's book.
Smart.
And in Kaufman style, I panned it. I gave a negative.
Oh, you have guts, man.
I panned it to Kemper. Well, fast forward 10 days, and, you know, you give your teacher a self-addressed envelope, and he gives you the final grade back. 10 days later, here comes the envelope. The upper left corner, Bob Lipsight, New Jersey. Well, I didn't know what the hell to expect. I open up that envelope. My hands are shaking a little bit. First thing I read, Lee, it was a pleasure having you in the class. You challenged me. Good luck on your career. Hope you do well. Last paragraph, Lee. Any student who would review his professor's book as a final project and make it an essentially negative review deserves an F or an A. You get an A.
Wow.
So that was the letter. Now, Lee, I'll take it one final step. In a couple of weeks, I know where he lives. He's on a place called Shelter Island. I think Steve knows where it is. It's way out on Long Island. And I'm going to a wedding on Long Island. And it's the only chance I'm ever going to get to see him. I haven't seen him in 20, 25 years. Lee, I still have the letter.
Dang.
47 years later, I never threw it out, and I'm bringing it to Bob Lipsight, and I didn't tell him I'm bringing it, and he's married, and his wife's going to be there, and we're going to go pay him a visit. And Lee, can you imagine him looking at that envelope and reading that letter? It's going to be very emotional for the sage.
Dang.
That's a special story, Ira. Now, look, Brooklyn College, I just was, while you were chatting there, Ira, I looked up famous Brooklyn College alumni, and you're not on the list, which I'm gonna try to get Wikipedia to fix that. But I did see some of these names here. Were you classmates with Bernie Sanders?
Steve, I was class of 74. Bernie was class of 47. So the answer is no. The answer is no.
I saw actually this woman named Phyllis Hilberg. Did you guys date?
No, Madeline Ginsburg was. We took her to the senior prom over there, so we didn't date. Lee, my high school, the Utrecht High School in Bensonhurst, and their big rival was Lafayette. Lafayette is alumni Sandy Koufax. New Utrecht High School's most famous alumni, Lee, Buddy Hackett. Buddy Hackett.
All right. Hey, Ira, Todd Bowles, going back to the interview, for those who didn't listen to part two yet, check it out.
Steve?
It's on the website and at the various platforms, Podcast Addict, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Ira, Akeem Hicks came up, and Todd Bowles not only talked about how Akeem Hicks had called him when Bowles was trying to get, was interested in the Bears defensive coordinator gig the same year he joined the Buccaneers. The Bears were flirting with him and brought him in for a visit, wanted to hire him, and they had some players call him. Akeem Hicks called him up at that time, and Bowles talked about how he always watched Akeem Hicks on Sunday, and he loves how he's in the backfield and plays with an attitude. And he also said, though, when he mentioned that interview, he didn't say it, but the understanding is when you go to interview with a team to be their defensive coordinator, you better have studied everybody on that defense so you can sit there with the head coach and with the GM and be proficient in all of their strengths and weaknesses. So Bowles really studied Akeem Hicks back in 2019, in addition to watching him in general and, you know, seeing him in other ways. So I think it was very powerful when he talked about how much Akeem Hicks is going to play and that they expect him to be the guy that he used to be.
I think there's a great deal of mutual respect between Hicks and Bowles. Lee, one thing I've been thinking about, I don't think it's been answered. I don't know. You tell me whether Bowles mentioned this. I'm not sure he did, but Lee, were they negotiating with Hicks kind of since the start of free agency and they couldn't nail him down, maybe want to test the market, see what's going on? Or did it come up, Lee, like in the last month? I'm not sure about this, but I got to think Bowles had an interest in Hicks because there was no guarantee Sue was coming back. JPP wasn't coming back. He's familiar with Hicks from his time studying the Bears. And by the way, Lee, when he interviewed with the Bears and it came down to maybe the Bears and the Bucks, that's a no contest in 2019 because of his relationship with Arians. I don't think the Bears had a chance in hell of signing Bowles once Arians became coach of the Bucks. He was going to get Bowles. And I'm not sure Arians would have came without Bowles, Lee. So I kind of think Bowles was a done deal going into Arians getting named Buck coach. I'm not sure about this dalliance with the Bears.
With Hicks, I'm of the opinion when it comes to the NFL, there's all kinds of moving wheels and gears behind the scenes that go on a whole lot longer than what looks like on face value. You know, I always reference when the Bucks hired Lovie Smith, it appeared on face value they hired him 2 or 3 days after they fired Shiano. Well, I was told they were actually in communication, Lovie and the Glazers, in October.
Yeah.
October of the season before. So I always believe that negotiations and talk, that goes on a whole lot longer than meets the eye. That's why you always hear general managers sort of confess that a lot of trades take place at the combine, even though it's, you know, you can't do it. It's not the new league year yet. You can't make a trade at that time, if I recall correctly. But the background, all that gets taken care of. And once they come to a deal, then they, you know, the proverbial cross the T's and dot the I's kind of thing happens later.
I don't think it's a reach to suggest there were some feelers out between the Bucks and Tom Brady's direction, Steve. In the spring of 2020, before Arians and Light made that phone call from Arians' house directly to Brady. Steve, you have to think there were back channels going on with Brady's representatives during that period.
Well, sure, Ira. I think, though, going another thing he mentioned about Hicks was his supreme intelligence. And it had me thinking, okay, he's talking about how Hicks is super intelligent, and he's also talked at length with us about how Logan Ryan is brilliant. And that was very interesting in part one of the interview, and how quickly Ryan is not only grasped everything, that he's already leading safeties after practice, and that he can play multiple positions already in the defense. And Keanu Neal is a guy known for being a very intelligent player. Dan Quinn brought him to Dallas in part because he felt, hey, this is the guy who can teach everybody the defense and be a coach on the field for me. And he's smart enough to switch positions because he knows the defense so well. So I put it together. It's like, that's three guys that Bowles brought in who are extremely intelligent. And it led me to believe, hey, maybe he's looking to lift up the smarts, the intelligent quotient of this defense. And maybe that's very important to him more than it was. Maybe it's more of an emphasis for him. So he's getting what he wants now.
That's well said, Steve. You know, I'm not sure that Bowles used this particular word with us last week, Steve, but besides the tackling deficiencies, which drove him up a wall, probably a half a dozen games last year, I don't think the communication was where Bowles wanted it on that defensive side. And here comes Ryan, who can be a pain in the ass because he has so many questions, but Bowles says bring it on. Because they're intelligent questions. You got Neal, and I don't want to, you know, make snap judgments, Lee, but you heard Akeem Hicks last week. The guy is so articulate and glib off the charts. He's going to be a go-to guy, Lee, for me and you in the locker room without question and honest to a fault. So, Lee, this word communication, it's not thrown around all that often by coaches, but I think the Bucks have to bump that up a little, and I think some of these new recruits might help in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I like Steve's point. I think he's got a great point. They're trying to, you know, every little bit helps. And if you know where you're supposed to be, at all times, that's going to help. Now, wasn't that the problem on the notorious Cooper Kupp pass against the Rams in the playoffs? That guys were out of position. They didn't know where they were supposed to be.
You are accurate. Now, first Arian said not everybody blitzed. Then he retracted that, Steve, remember? And everybody did blitz. But I think there were a couple of guys out of position, Steve, on that play.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a crazy, crazy play at a crazy time and a sad, sad thought for Bucs fans that we don't need to revisit. It just hit me, Ira, because a while ago I had been doing some research on Keanu Neal, and I remember reading a feature where either some retired athletic director at his high school or something said he was the most intelligent student athlete to ever play at the school in any sport, period. So that really stuck out to me. I remember stuck. What did I say the word stuck?
He was a very good player for the Falcons, guys. He was. And I don't know what the hell Dallas was thinking, because I guess they tried to use him at linebacker last year, Lee. That's stupid. Do what the guy does best. He's a safety. You know, who knows safety better than Bowles? And Bowles is going to use him in the right way.
All right, Sage, look, we are getting out of here. Next week, very exciting, part three and the entire interview in one shot with Todd Bowles. What I love about part three, and we'll talk about it at another time, but the fun part about that is when Bowles started talking about Kyle Trask without being asked. You brought up your Blaine Gabbert, and Bowles gave a big answer. We'll hear about that, but he also started talking about Trask, and that'll probably make some national news. But anyway, Sage, we
also have that surprise ending, Steve. Surprise
ending. Well, the surprise ending surprised the hell out of all of us, which is some great comedy there. But Ira, be safe in New York. And of course, you got to get your wife. Talk to her, you know, when you have some quiet time. Get her to let you use that Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford Cherry Red a little bit more. I've seen you driving it. And, you know, where is she going all the time that you don't get to go along and drive it? I don't understand, Ira.
Well, the nails, the hair, Lee, the dry cleaning, the dog food. You know, there's a bunch of chores over there. Lee, if I'm putting the fuel in, coughing up my dineros over there, don't I earn the right to drive my beautiful cherry red Escape?
You're not just coughing up dineros these days, Ira. You're coughing up C-notes. I got to get this off my chest here, Ira. It's a good thing you're going back to New York this weekend. You need to spend some time in Brooklyn. You're a proud Brooklynite. Isn't Brooklyn the birthplace of pizza in America?
It should be, Lee.
Well, you need to get back to your roots, because I cannot believe a proud Brooklynite that you are would actually say on a public forum like this that you gobbled down pizza with bananas on it.
Boy, I'm telling you, the guy that used to chow down when I was 15 years old on Fort Hamilton Parkway, he'd throw me out of his store if he heard that, Lee. Throw me out.
Bananas, that's gross, man.
And Steve, speaking of pizza, I'll tell you how old I am. Back in the day, you used to get a slice and a Coke, Steve, for a quarter.
All right, get out of here, Ira. Cut this out.